Have you or do you place your trust in God? Might sound like a oversimplified question, and sometimes we might think that we have a firm answer to that, but oftentimes it isn't all that simple either. I'm reminded how that phrase is the motto of the United States and is placed on our money for one thing, in God we trust. And we know how much meaning that has in reality. It's obviously quite shallow and has little true meaning in this country. Sad, the condition, the state of the world, the state of this country, candidly. For us, however, this is how we're to live. It's to be our life. And there are things that reflect at different times that we don't do that well. At certain times in our life, or some don't do it well at certain times and maybe have certain battles in that, and we all go through different things and learn that process of desiring more and more to indeed place our trust in God. As I said, sometimes come up lacking for some who are called into God's church. Everyone who has ever left or been put out of God's church ceased doing that a long time ago before they were ever disfellowshipped. And you have to go through the process there to understand why. Take each question by its time, and where is the trust? Where is the reliance? Where is the faith and that respect toward God and what you're doing and how you're doing it? Something happens. Something goes astray. Something goes in the wrong direction. But now more than ever, that's what we need in our lives, and we need to focus upon that, especially when considering the content and the focus and the reality of what's been covered in the last book, The Fall of the United States. Recently, we just completed a series entitled The World is Plunging into Chaos, and it was subtitled How Prepared Are You? Because they go together, and this matter of trust then is a part of this. Do we place our trust in God? To what degree? Because it has to be all. It really does. And especially if we move into a particular period of time, as things get worse and worse around us in this world, it's going to be something that we're going to have to practice, perhaps learn to practice and exercise more than we've ever done in our entire life because of the physical things in the world around us. Those conditions will put us into a position of being tried in some of those things at times. And to what degree we do it. But you hold fast and you persevere and you're determined to do it and look to God and seek that in your life, God will bless us immensely, truly. So that's a good focus to have at this particular time. So we're going to follow this particular section here of the world being plunged into chaos and thinking about that and what's happening in the news and thinking about how prepared are we for what's coming, because we don't know the time, but if you just look at what's happening in the world, you realize we're getting dangerously close now to that point in time. And we don't have to be told when, we just have to be alert, on guard, and realize what we have talked about for so long is in the news day after day now. And it's headed that direction, and all of a sudden here, more and more, I'll even have some news here I'm going to go through, because I feel that these kinds of articles, to have them in front of us, to think about what's taking place, are sobering. They are also motivating in the sense of realizing indeed where our hope is and understanding this is on the doorstep right now, and at any moment something can happen. And we have to think in those terms. More than ever, I've thought about it at different times that we may not have a Feast of Tabernacles that's organized, even though we have to go through the motions and have a registration and have sites that people can go to. But, you know, even that can be challenged in a very powerful way, if you will, because of what's going to take place at some point in time here. And we don't know, but we have to keep focused. Anyway, so to begin, let's first think about the very definition of trust. I'm looking at it in the sense of a noun here, but we understand what it means as far as the practice of it and the doing of it and exercising of it. But first of all, it's an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone. Now, in this case, we understand with us talking about this, it's about God. So how does that fit into our life? How strong is that in our life? How convicted are we of God? The character, that what He says, He will do. Of what He tells us to do in life, and we respond to it, of what He tells us is in front of us, of His intervention for us, of the things He will do for us, especially as you place your trust in Him. And so how assured are we? How definite are we in our thinking? Then the word assured, I think that's important to understand that as well. So what does that mean? That which is characterized by certainty or security, guaranteed. So when we think about that, hopefully we understand that we're thinking about whenever God says something, promises something, it's guaranteed already. It's absolute. It's just up to us, to the choices we make as to what we're going to do. And for us, it's all in. That's what we told God at baptism. It always goes back to that. My life is yours. That's the bottom line. Whatever He wants to do with it, as a part of His purpose and His plan, whatever He allows in life that's difficult as well, it's good for us because we're in His hands. He's the one who molds and fashions us. He's the one who knows what it is to change this mind, and not just for the sake of changing it, but for the purpose that's there, because of our calling, because of what He has planned for us. And most often then in that is a place in His family. We don't know what that place is. We're all different. We're all unique. But what an incredible thing to understand. Well, how blessed we are to have such a part in something so incredibly great. So we told God that our lives are His. Even if we lose them, our lives are His. I hope we understand that to the depth of our being. We're assured of that. We know that. Whatever takes place, we don't have to have concern. Even to those around us, we don't have to have concern. We belong to God. And when it's all said and done, we'll be there. Then there is a second portion of the definition of trust. One in whom confidence is placed. Confidence. That shouldn't be hard. But I think of so many who've gone by the wayside who didn't do that, maybe never did it in their life in one respect. What is it they wanted? What is it they saw? What is it they hoped for? What is it that wasn't fulfilled to their liking that they went astray? What happens to the mind when these things take place? Well, each individual can only answer that for themselves. But by the time they get to that point where they're on their way out, very little stops that motion. When certain decisions and choices have been made to go in a certain direction, to do certain things, what turns that around? Can anything turn it around? What is God going to do? Things we should have answers to in our lives and understand. Anyway, I think of a great place to begin this sermon is the song entitled, I Will Praise. Now it says thee in any of the songs that are in the book anymore. I don't use... How many of you speak in Old King James? Don't use that stuff, you know. And yet there are people who use those kind of expressions in the world, and we don't do that. So anyway, I will praise You, O Eternal. I will show forth Your great works. Well, how do you do that? By yielding to God. By looking to God. By doing the things God says. And He will do the works within us. He is the one who is creating that which is in our minds, that's being transformed, and we will show forth great works in time. Once we are an Elohim, that's the greatest of the fulfillment. But even within the church as we grow, in the womb as it were, waiting for birth in the church, waiting for the time that we're born. Incredible. And how we live our lives, the fact that we're able to change, the fact that we can think differently, the fact that we can keep the Sabbath, the fact that others out there in the world that we know see the things that we're doing, the fact that we don't eat pork and squid and octopus, and people come to know those things. We're showing forth God's great works of how we're supposed to live. We go to the Feast of Tabernacles. We tithe. We give offerings. We do the things God says we're to do. And in that process of thinking differently and acting differently in the world, we're reflecting something and showing something that's impossible without God. The only way we can do those things is through God's Spirit. The only way you're here in this body, in PKG, is because of God's Spirit and your relationship with God Almighty. He makes it possible. Now, we have to make choices in that, but He is the one who makes it possible, Him and His Son. I will praise You, O Eternal. I will show forth Your great works, O You Most High God, Eternal. What a beautiful way to look at God, to keep that always in our mind. The Most High God, Eternal, only one who has ever been eternal. I will sing praise to Your name. So that doesn't just mean in song. That's in the mind. That's in our thinking. There are those times in prayer where we should be so in awe and things that we say to God and so dumbfounded to the mercy and the patience and everything else He has with us, and yet the road that He makes clear for us and says we just have to keep moving forward and hold on to what we have, persevere. He makes it possible. It's awesome. Takes a good part of one's life to accomplish it. Great. I will sing praise to Your name. But my foes will turn and stumble. Who are our foes? Well, the first one is self. Our own human nature is our foe. And those are the things that have to be conquered. Now, that's a beginning point in understanding some of this on a spiritual plane. And we go through that process of learning that. And that's what we want. We don't only want that foe to stumble. We want to put our foot on the back of their neck and keep them under the water. That old self. But when I think of this, I can't help but think of Satan and the demonic world. They've already stumbled. They stumbled a long time ago. And God's going to take care of all that to where they're gone in time here. Not too far away if you look at the span of man's life on earth. But my foes will turn and stumble. So we think of this age as well. People who don't, anyone that's against God. Now, we don't look at everyone being a foe or an enemy, but the reality is that oftentimes in life we run into that, where there are those who, if they learn and know more, the more they sometimes know, the more they resist and hate what God is doing and those whom God has called and working through. And so we look forward to the time here that this world and those who don't want God's way of life, those who call something else God, another name, another story, other days that they observe, and they don't know, they're in blindness, they're in darkness, but as long as they're in that, they resist what is true, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. It hates God. It doesn't want God until God begins to call and humble someone, and He's getting ready to humble the world, those who will receive it, but a huge portion of this world won't even receive it. And that's getting worse very fast because of modern technology. This world has gone nuts. People are going nuts. Their minds. Saw some college students on a campus. Typical. Here it is, it's on the news, and they're showing some things about college, but they weren't really focusing on the thing that I looked at. I'm seeing the students going around there. They're looking down their phones. You know, it's like zombies. We've been invaded by zombies. I'm sorry, but you think, what is happening? Technology's out of, the use of it has gone crazy. Ask about certain things in life and they don't know. Where's Europe? I think it's down by Venezuela. You know, I mean, people don't know the most basic of things anymore. It's like, where's the mind? And they have to use certain words. They can't use certain words. And who is he, she, it, they, what? You know, you don't even know what to say. So why even try? Anyway, sick, sick world. But it's doing things to the mind. Doing things to the mind. And you think when that generation grows up, the majority, if we think we have it bad now because of how we're being ruled, of who's in control in some cases, the scariest part to me is the fact that the majority put them into office. What's wrong with them? Where's the mind that can't see some simple things in life, clear things in life? Anyway, I'm sorry, but I am so sick of this world. And I am so looking forward to this world being cleaned up. And though we have to go through some horrible things, so be it. Because we're as in the days we've gone past it, I feel, the days of Noah. And why the world had to be destroyed. We've passed it up, as far as I'm concerned, truly. It's a sick, sick, the mind and the thinking that's going on out here. It's scary. It really is. Thankfully, we're at that point in time where it's going to get changed. But it's hard. Majority resist. That's why I love what it gives when it explains what it's going to be like when Christ and 144,000 come back, that they're not coming back and, you know, with pious and as some would have people think of certain things, walking around pious and saying nice things and just so forgiving of anything you might have to say against them, about them. You think, no, he's not coming back as a lamb this time to be killed and his blood spilled to the earth and to be hung up and to be spit upon and to be slapped and be treated that way, because on a spiritual plane, that's how the world treats what is true and treats Joshua the Christ and treats God the Father, truly, and treats oftentimes those in God's church. High time that it is brought to an end indeed. Well, I better get back to part of this. I'll never make it through the song today. Are you sick of this world? I mean, really, sick of this world. It's scary out there how the minds of people are and what another generation, what it's going to be like if their minds are so screwed up now and receiving all this stuff from in universities and schools. Thankfully, something has started to do a little bit of shaking in the sense of some parents waking up and realize, I've let them be my babysitter too long. I've shirked my responsibility a little too long. And look what they're being taught now. And now try to step in and stop it. And it's really kind of too late in many ways. And the minds get set to some of those kinds of things. And when you teach the kinds of things that some of these universities are teaching, if that doesn't rile you up and they go back out and their thinking is like that, you think thinking is bad right now? If time were to go on a decade from now, 2 decades from now, you would want some other place to live, but there is no other place to live because every other place is getting worse too. Going down the toilet. We're just going down. I am so thankful God has shown us what's true and what's coming. That's our hope. Because you can't change this world. You can't change anything in this world. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. But my foes will turn and stumble. At your presence, they will fall. Thank God. So as I was saying, is that the King of Kings and that 144,000 return, first thing they're going to start doing is destroying those, destroy with power this world has never witnessed or seen, exercised on it ever. And they're going to be active in helping to destroy those who are destroying the earth, because that's what's needed. Put to death. No messing around, no trying to convince them to stop, quit pushing the buttons, quit fighting, quit doing this, quit doing that. Just destroy them, because they're destroying the earth and their minds are at a point of being gone. And they will not humble themselves, though they see some of these things coming. The eternal judges rightly. You think any one of those 144,000 is going to have a qualm about doing exactly what God reveals to them is to be done at that moment in time, to destroy and kill physical human beings? Think that's a bad thing? No, it's a righteous thing. It's the best thing that can happen. And those who can be resurrected later on, there's a place for them and a time for them. But not for the millennium, because people need to be humbled, those who go into the millennium. They truly do. So they can begin to be worked with. So they're not resisting and fighting as much, indeed. So they have an attitude of, well, humility. I'm broken, like we talked about. The eternal judges rightly, and forever he will rule. I look forward to that day to begin. I think we all do with all of our being. And whatever it takes to receive that, bring it on. The eternal lives forever. He destroys all wicked men. That's in God's plan. To destroy all who will not listen to him when it's all said and done. It's in his plan. And a big portion of that, and things about judgment, that so much of the Bible talks about, it wasn't for other periods of in other ages of time. It's for this time right now. It's for this time right now, because this is when the world is judged in a very powerful way. Those who can continue on in a new age, and those who are not going to have part in it, but will have an opportunity later on. And if they don't change then during that 100 years, they'll be destroyed. It's a simple thing. Because that kind of life that God offers and his family is not owed to anyone. It's not trying to make everyone equal. Well, let's see, what can we do to change this so you can, oh, let's not pass out these awards, you know, because we don't want someone to feel bad that they're not doing things to, it's like, I think some of this worked into the church one time, wasn't it, when certain areas wanted to start having an YOU and YES or whatever, when they come together in the games, it's like, let everybody win. There shouldn't be a winner. Let everybody play and participate. Let everything kind of be equal. No competition, because competition's evil. Well, not with human beings. If I sit down at a card game with you, there's going to be some competition. If I'm out playing baseball with you, which is highly unlikely, unless someone else is running the bases for me, there's going to be some competition. And I'm going to talk some smack. It's fun with friends. But not the way some people do. They take it so seriously, they get in fights. What was it? I saw something on TV the other day. This brawl, was it in some, I don't know, baseball or what it was. But anyway, they're out there, basketball maybe. Anybody see that? Whatever it was. I don't watch sports, but I saw that. And you're out there, pow, 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 just having a great old time, you know. Well, we're not like that. But the thinking of people, you think, what's wrong with striving and achieving and doing better for yourself? And yes, I understand there are things about competition that aren't good, but there's a balance in that as well. So when we do it, we're going to have fun. Especially when you're winning. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Oh. The eternal is forever. He destroys all wicked men. He removes their name forever. If that's what it takes, so be it. I don't have any problems with, I don't think anyone does who's called of God, that in the great white throne, all those who don't want God, all those, some that I will know to this point in time in my life, let alone those I'll know during the millennium and the great white throne. Some I would love to see make choices for God's way. Isn't that what God wants? He wants people to make those choices out of humility and say, yes, that's what I want, and to agree and to want to be at one with God. But I'll tell you what, if they don't belong there. That's why I have no qualms with people who fight and resist God and His church. They don't belong here. If they don't want to go by the things that are given, that God gives within us and gives us that latitude of things that of governing within the body of the church even, binds those things in heaven as they're done here on earth, because He's given that authority and those who strive to do it according to God's will. And that term better be used right too by people, because sometimes that's misused. Anyway. Things we're always learning, striving to learn. But we should always want God's way of life, willing to surrender to it. But those individuals who don't want it, I don't have any problem with them being gone, because they hurt others. Satan, the demonic world, it's far better they never live again. Those who don't want God's way of life, if that's their choice and their minds are set on that, it's better their names are not around anymore. No matter how much I or anyone else might want them to make a different choice. Doesn't matter who it is either. Everyone has to make their own choice. We may want something for someone to do something, but if they don't do it, that can be a pain, that can hurt. But it's the best thing. And that's where we learn to come into unity and oneness with God in all things. Because His family must be a certain way in order for peace to always exist, in order for God, His love, to always exist. And this thing of sharing in a way that has no competition in the sense of wishing evil upon others, using that word, has to be seen in a different way, with a right mind and right balance. Without lust, without envy, without jealousy. Different. He removes their name forever. Even their memory dies. Because in time, it's hard for us to grasp certain things like that, but we have 70 as a whole in mankind, and that seems like it takes forever until you get to there, and then it's like, it's about out. Anyway, you have to start thinking a different way, and thankfully for God's plan, we start planning ahead. Way ahead. And it becomes more and more exciting. And to think into time, it's hard to do, because we don't know all that God has planned for us to be a part of. But He judges all with fairness. Individual choices. Gives everyone the opportunity to choose Him, to repent, to come to agree that their way is wrong, because anything that's different from God's is wrong. He judges all with fairness. He will rule with equity. That's what's equal. It's when it's done God's way, God's purpose, God's plan. All who know His name will trust Him. One of the hallmarks of our life. We trust in God, truly. We place our trust in Him. He will not forsake His own. Absolute. Guaranteed. What could we want more? That's what it's about. He will not forsake His own. He is a great power and a great might. Who can fight against that when you're in His hands? Our fortress, our high tower, our rock. Do we look to God in that regard and things that He said and given? To the Lord who dwells in Zion, sing to Him and praise His name. Tell His deeds among the nations. Tell of all His glorious works. I can't help but think of us, and when we come together in fellowship and we're able to share stories, how God's worked in people's lives, calling them, working with them, things that have happened to help change us. And to me, those are some of the richest things within fellowship. Tell of all his glorious works. He avenges all his people. He will not forget their cry. We cry out to God. We pray to God. Something's being done to his children. You think he takes it personally? Powerfully so. Wouldn't want to be on the other side. He's there. We may have to go through some struggle, but God is there. He will not forget their cry. To the Lord who dwells in Zion, sing to him and praise his name. Beautiful. Psalm 25. Unto you, O eternal, unto you, O eternal, do I lift up my life. That's what we're to do as soon as we're called. What we do with our lives, we lift them up before God. We offer it before God. It's like an offering. That's the sacrifice. We're sacrificing self in giving our life to God. We tell God at baptism, my life is yours. Incredible. Unto you, O eternal, do I lift up my life. O my God, I trust in you. It's our choice. And if that's what we've chosen, and that's what we strive to practice and live in our life, in every facet of our life, it's beautiful. Do not let me be ashamed. So it's basically in a context here of, I place my trust in you, don't let me be ashamed. Well, if you have the conviction that we have and that we grow in and the truth we grow in, we know we're not going to be ashamed. But still bringing in the factor here of carnal human thinking sometimes and things we go through. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. Well, we should understand they're not going to. When it's said and done, we may have to go through some periods where we have enemies and they may get the upper hand at times. So be it. It's always been that way. But always for a purpose, especially with those whom God calls. Yes, let none who wait on you, to wait upon, to look to, in other words, for God's intervention, for his timing, for whatever it might be. And we looked at, just like what we're doing. What are we doing? We're looking to, as far as this world is concerned, looking to God to send his son, to send the 144,000, to stop the madness, the insanity of this world, and change it now to a new age, to have one government on the earth, one church around the world. Things we can't even begin to really comprehend, but we know it's true. Beautiful. Yes, let none who wait on you be ashamed. And we won't be. If we have that confidence, that's even stronger. But let them be ashamed who act treacherously, in vain, if you will, in a vain manner, because when people act treacherously against God, against God's people, against others in this world, in a treacherous manner, it's about self, the evil that's there, the vanity that's there, the pride that's there. That's what it's talking about. Show me your ways, O Eternal. Teach me your paths. Well, that's what God does. And we should pray about that week by week, especially as we come to Sabbath services before we come. That's what we're wanting. We want God to continue to feed us, to show us his ways, to help us to understand what we need to work on, what we need to see, whatever it might be in a timely fashion, that God work with us. And so we cry out to God. We pray to God about these matters. Lead me in your truth. What is that truth? We know what the truth is. More and more, God has shown us what the truth is. And as far as truths are concerned, he's given us more and more to give us the encouragement we need at a time that's going to be some of the worst times the world will ever see. But yet, understanding we live at a time that so much of that is being given because of how blessed we are to live at this time. Because his son's about to return and establish his kingdom. And so just because of that, we happen to live at this time, we're blessed even more so. I can't think of a better time for one to have been born and called than now. Truly, I love it. Lead me in your truth. He's doing that powerfully so. and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. You know, keeping these things in our mind, and just as we read through something like this, to realize how blessed we are that this is the truth that's in our life, that this is what we're able to experience. On you do I wait all the day. It's just our thinking. More and more. Even now, I mean, especially now. More and more. This is growing within us. Every time we hear something in the news, just as I saw those students walking down the sidewalk and head buried in the phone, it's like, what are you on, TikTok? What are you on? Some kind of message? Were you waiting for somebody to answer? What are you waiting for? What kind of a life do you have? Do you see that there are actually other people around you? No, they're zombies. They're lost in the cloud. Sad. And then you just ache inside, and you can't wait for things to begin to get straightened out, for people to begin to be worked with and to show them this is not life. This is not good existence. Your life is more excited about TikTok than many other things. Tick-tock. No, I'm sorry. I mean, isn't that crazy? People spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in some of these kind of things. You think, oh. I thought it was kind of funny that here this balloon's coming across states. It may be spying on us. Oh, don't worry. They've spied in so many other things, it's not even funny. They've got so many spies out here, and how many people are excited about that? Nobody gets upset about some of these things where they can spy on you. And it's like, so why worry about that stupid balloon? Anyway, sorry. And it's worldwide news. I was watching BBC. And it's a balloon that's crossing the United States. A balloon. What are they going to do? Anyway, you've gone just totally mad, stark raving mad. And they talk about shooting it down. They're talking about maybe shooting up at it, and maybe trying to. There probably are people trying to shoot it. They don't realize how high it is, and their ammunition won't go that far. But just remember, it'll come back down. Anyway, lost my place. Verse 5. Lead me in your truth, teach me, and God of my salvation. I wait. Remember, O eternal. Okay, thank you. I thought I was much farther down. No wonder I couldn't find it. Thank you. Remember, O eternal, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses. In other words, something we want to continue to be able to see and to understand in the midst of everything that's so crazy, to be able to keep focused and to realize how blessed we are and the mercy we do receive from God. And that's our hope and for what's coming. God's doing it all out of love. After 6,000 years, He's going to be able to begin to intervene and begin to set things right in the world. But He gave 6,000 years for us to have millions and billions of people on the earth, and then in time to give opportunity for different ones within that to be called who will yield themselves to it. Remember not the sins of my youth. Anyway, as he says, these have ever been of old. So there are things we go through in our own lives, and then it becomes more of a personal matter here. Sometimes when we pray that, and this should be something we do regularly too, to ask God to continually help us to see sin, help us to fight against us, help us to want to root it out of our lives and seek the help and the power to accomplish it. Nor my transgressions, and thankfully then we're assured and we know again, we're assured, our trust is in God, we know that when we repent, it's gone. We don't have to carry it. We don't have to drag those rocks behind us anymore. We're free. Awesome. Assurance. Confidence. We trust in God and what He says. We have to beat ourselves up. Good and upright is the eternal. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. You know, as we repent, we acknowledge that's what we are. That's what God does. And we're so blessed. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Those who are teachable, those who have a humble spirit. God can work with them, but he can't work with haughtiness and pride. So we can be thankful for the times that sometimes even hard things we go through that help us to remember. We need to nurture a humble spirit before God to fight against the kind of mind that resists God. All the paths of the eternal are mercy and truth. So to know how blessed we are to have so much truth that we're able to walk in it and how merciful God has been to give us that, look at the scattered body. How merciful has God been to a few because he has a plan with a small group, just with a small remnant group. He's going to keep it going, the church, until Christ returns. And to be a part of that, to know the things we know, to see the things that we see, we grasp an apostasy took place. We grasp those things. We understand them. The man of sin, the son of perdition, we grasp those things. We don't look at physical people in the world to fulfill some of these things that have been misunderstood in the past. All the paths of the eternal are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So if we keep those things, if we're watching over them, if we're seeking to nurture them, dress and keep, that's what these things are about, as far as his covenant and his testimonies, and these are our treasure in that regard, and we're alert to that, God blesses us. For your namesake, O eternal, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. So again, we continually have to go through this process because we have to realize our nature. Our nature resists God, but to receive the things that are in front of us, to be a part of something great, to be a part of God's family, to continue in God's family, to grow spiritually, requires us to go through this process here of looking at our lives on a regular basis. What has to change? What up here is wrong? And do we repent of it when we have the wrong thinking? Do we learn to practice and say no to certain things that come into the mind, because they come into the mind. And you say, no, not going to have that. Don't want that. I want what God says. I want it to be that way, what is right and good. What person is it who fears the eternal? Well, what a healthy thing when we fear to do wrong, when we fear to go against God. And yet the majority have ever been called haven't done that, didn't fulfill that. To them shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. To those who have that kind of a mindset, to understand what we're capable of, and to understand how dangerous it is to go in a wrong direction and to have wrong things come in. Wrong things will come into your mind regardless. You're human. We all have a human mind, but it's what you do with it that counts. It's the choices that are made. And it's the desire then we have toward God and the asking for the help to refuse and to clean up the mind and look forward to the time that the mind will never have those things coming into it again. Because we have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life that's in this mind, the carnal mind. What an awesome thing when that's just gone. I look forward to that. Their life shall dwell in good. That's God's promise. So if we have that right kind of thinking and we're crying out to God about it, their life shall dwell in good. God will bless us to live in his way of life. He'll bless us in continuing in the church. He'll bless us in coming through what's ahead here in this world. He'll bless us in bringing us through to the other side. Their life shall dwell in good, and their seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the eternal is with those who fear him. What an awesome thing to understand. The things that people in the world can't see, we're blessed to see. Things they can't understand it because they won't receive it, and they don't have that mind that's being drawn by God's Spirit and blessed to see what we're blessed to see. What? It's hidden. So the secret of the eternal is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. My eyes are ever toward the eternal. And this is the way we have to think and ask God for help for us to be able to keep our eyes that way. Ever toward the eternal. In other words, ever looking to God. It's about this putting trust in God, ever looking to God, to what He says, to His plan, His purpose, placing our trust in Him. That's what we're talking about here. For He shall take my feet out of the net. And we're about to have our feet put into a huge net in the sense of what is going to happen in this world, the quagmire, that's the evil that's going to come upon this world, the things we can't even begin to contemplate yet. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be exceedingly hard and harsh. But we're going to go through it. My desire, my prayer with all my being is it's just a very short period of time. And with nuclear war, it can't be too long because there will be nothing left once they start doing it if God doesn't intervene and stop it anyway. So you think there's going to be a lot of debate after the first few go off and it's like, okay, let's get together at the United Nations and discuss this for a few years. No, somebody else is going to push a button and somebody else is going to do something stupid and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and faster and because nobody wants to lose and if they don't act now, then that's where we're being shoved. That's where we're being pushed and that's why things are so close. Verse 16, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. For I am desolate and afflicted. So there are times we go through things like this and we're going to be crying out to God in ways you can't comprehend right now because it's going to be very physical that can carry a spiritual impact with us. And that's why we trust in God. That's going to be our continual answer regardless of what we go through. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. We're going to see that in ways that you can't even imagine yet. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. You're going to be distressed. There's going to be distress on every side. Be prepared for it. Just understand it's a part of something we have to experience and go through in this world at this time. It is what it is. And we're going to go through it. And God will bring us through it. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. So that'll be something ever before us as well because you're sobered to reality at times like that. And God hears us and He'll bring us through and He holds us as children, as babes, close to Him. See my enemies or look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Well, those things that are adversarial all around us, it definitely is not a part of God's world. And we're going to go through a time where we see that heightened because that mind that's going to be fueled to do evil, worse and worse in the world, the kind of things that will take place when there's no electricity and when there's no food and there's no water and there's no gas and how people turn sometimes, well, not sometimes, they're going to turn. And there's going to be a lot of evil in the world around us. Trust is in God. Oh, keep, it's that same word, to watch over, to preserve, as to maintain, to strengthen, address and keep things, same word. Oh, keep my life and deliver me. That's what we desire of God, from God. And He promises that's what He'll do for us as we make right choices, as we choose right things, as we have the right kind of prayers to Him. Prayers that have to do with our desire to change and repent and become at one with Him. Do not let me be ashamed, for I put my trust in You. Crying out for the strength and the help we need to keep this kind of focus, to keep our trust in Him. When the thinking starts to go in the wrong direction, and it will at times in life, it can at times in life, depending on the situations of what different ones go through, this is what we need. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. It's always going back to looking to God, waiting on God, and understanding. What a blessing that we understand how long this is going to last. Not going to be that long. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. Who's that? Well, spiritual Israel, we know it is. It's not just about us individually, it's about the body. Now, that brings me to news. If you will, I thought this would be a good juncture, if you will, to read some of these articles. Because this will become more real to us when we come to a point when we're in a full-blown World War III, if you will. And this kind of thinking, this sermon, things about this that need to be in our mind, that we place our trust in God. We look to God. We pray to God continually for help to be delivered, for help for all of us to go through these things successfully, to keep a right mind and right thinking, to hold on to wait upon God, meaning we keep our eyes focused upon Him and trusting in Him. So, again, I've thought about different times, not going through as much news, but come to realize even more and more, we need this. We need to have our minds sobered constantly as this draws closer and closer, and not do what so much of the world does when it goes through some of these things, because in some cases people kind of pull into a cocoon or a hole and don't even want to think about it. Well, you don't have much choice because you're going to be in it. You're in it, and when you're in it, you're in it. Just realize it's right there on the doorstep. So I'm going to go through a lot of different articles just in the last 2 weeks. Newsweek magazine. Putin ally admits Ukraine has enough weapons to try to destroy us. Dmitry Medvedev, deputy chairman of the Security Council of Russia, has said the West was supplying enough weapons to Kiev to destroy his country. Now, it's not that he believes that, but he's pumping it out there. And he's putting it out there for a reason. These things aren't just happening nonchalantly. There are things that they're going through, and there are certain powers behind some of this as well that are very deceitful and very powerful in the spirit realm that they don't grasp and comprehend, that are pushing people's buttons in certain areas as well. Going on. In his latest post of his Telegram social media channel, the former Russian president gave this take on the consequences of the meeting of Ukraine's allies at the U.S. Ramstein Air Base in Germany on January the 20th. So, a lot of what they're saying has to do with their thinking and what they're telling their own people, because they want them to think in a certain way. They want them to see the West in a certain way and what's happening in Ukraine in a certain way, and to see this whole world is coming after them now. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go ahead and fight? Are they going to go ahead and respond to the call rather than running away from it or whatever it might be and realize our very existence now? Anyway, on and on it goes. The group of more than 50 countries came to agreements on providing more arms, although there was an impasse over whether Germany would allow the delivery of its Leopard 2 tanks. Countries like Poland. It's interesting to note, even some of these things that they take, they resisted. They don't want to. There are certain things they're holding back on. World War II still has an impact upon them, how they were seen. And so they hold back, and then all of a sudden, they do give in to the pressure and to that power in the air as well. And they're coming together, and they're taking a step that maybe they really don't want to take, but they're taking it. They're doing it because they're going to fulfill something. That's just the way it is. So again, countries like Poland want to give Kiev the vehicles, but this requires Berlin's permission. On Monday, Germany's foreign minister, Anna Baerbock, said she would not stand in the way of Warsaw were it to send the advanced tanks to Kiev. Now, you have to understand here that Germany has about 2,000 of these tanks scattered throughout different parts of nations in Europe. And this is what some are saying we want to give them, but because of things they have signed and agreed to, they had to have, basically, in a nutshell, to get Germany's permission to send them somewhere else. Earlier, Medvedev had expressed his concern at the continued Western support for Ukraine, posting that its allocation of weapons leaves no doubt that our enemies will indefinitely try to wear us down, or rather, destroy us. Trying to throw a little fear out there. They're keen on destroying us. Look at all these tanks that are coming in there now. Look at what they're asking for. They want the jets, all the missiles and so forth. What is their next step? What are we ready for this? How do people respond? Anyway, on January 19th, Medvedev wrote that a nuclear power such as Russia losing in a conventional war can provoke the outbreak of a nuclear war. Nuclear powers do not lose major conflicts of which their fate depends, he added. He's making it very clear they will use nuclear weapons. They're thinking about it. It's a matter of when. It's coming. They're going to use them. Putin is going to use them. Those around him, his circle, they're pushing to use them. It's not going to happen until it's God's time. But it's going to happen. What's going to be the spark? It can change. These things that happen week after week, it's like it could have been that started it, but it wasn't yet. But that's what it's like right now. What spark is going to be the one? Well, God determines that. They don't. God does. Satan doesn't. God does. God allows Satan and the demons to do certain things, but they're not going to be allowed to do some things until they come to that point that God allows it to take place. Another article here. World on brink of World War III due to West escalating, Medvedev warns. So another comment here from another source saying Dmitry Medvedev on Monday said, the world has come close to the threat of World War III due to impending U.S. aggression against the Russian Federation. Medvedev said in comments first reported by Sky News Arabia, he also emphasized he sees the conflict at a point of no return. In other words, it's in the works, it's headed this way. Just put all your cards on the table, tell it, yeah, they've told us. Now, whether the world really believes it or not, it's another matter. Another one here. Sending Ukraine our tanks could turn Europe into one big radioactive graveyard. There are people who are starting to wake up to reality. This is going to happen. And there are people who are starting to fear this is what's going to happen. And the reality is, it's going to happen. Others are shying away from it and thinking they can try to prevent it or do certain... They can't. And it's just gaining momentum every week. Every week. Now this is written by, I found this one really interesting, it's written by Peter Hutchins, who is an English conservative author, broadcaster, journalist, and commentator. He writes for the Mail, a British conservative newspaper. So some of his comments. This was the moment at which we began the unstoppable descent into terrible danger, which so many of us will bitterly regret in times to come about the tanks. I won't waste time here going over the question of who started the Ukraine war or even why. Most people don't want to know. He's right. Most people don't want to know. They don't want to think about those things. That's what it's about. Human nature. Stick your head into a hole somewhere. And refuse to think about it. Or to look up the facts. They defame and abuse anyone who tries to tell them. So to hell with that. I'm bored with trying. The government, he's worked up. You can tell by how he's saying it. He's up to here, so he's telling what most don't have the guts to say. So he sees something that's coming, and he knows it's real, and he sees what pushed it a little bit closer, and he's crying out in the best way he knows how. Genuine, true. I'm bored with trying. The government claims to be in favor of free debate in universities. So all the rage, all the stage army of right-wing thinkers and scribers whoop with admiration that we can now perhaps discuss the transgender issue. But the government and its tame thinkers are not in favor of free debate on crucial national policy, and nor is anyone else much. So it's like, look at the things, and it's true, that people are focusing upon. What they're talking about and ignoring the biggest things right in front of them that they should be focused upon more and more deeply concerned. But they'll get focused on this transgender thing and how things are going on in universities and what kids are being taught. Well, that's all about the kids anyway. That's good that they're wanting to step in and get some of this change. But anyway, Germany has become one of Ukraine's leading weapons suppliers in the 11 months since Russia's invasion. The debate among allies about the merits of sending battle tanks to Ukraine has focused the spotlight relentlessly on Germany. And that's an amazing thing. They're the ones being pushed to do some of these things. They're the ones who have it to send more of. It's always been that way. Armaments. German armaments. Assyria. Anyway. Spotlight relentlessly on Germany, whose Leopard 2 tank is used by many other countries and has long been sought by Kiev. When the Defense Secretary announced that British tanks were going to Ukraine, not one MP raised any doubts or opposed the move. Not one. To read the record of the non-debate is like reading the proceedings of some communist fake parliament. The country where political freedom was born has decided not to bother being free anymore. You can tell this guy's fed up. He sees danger and he sees what's happening. It's like, where is everybody? Where are the minds of people? What's wrong with the government? Don't we realize what this means if we keep doing this? Well, Medvedev was right. It's too late to turn back. It really is. So it is left to me to tell you that it is an act. In other words, he's saying nobody else is saying this, so I'm going to just tell you because I'm sick and tired of people not talking about it, not putting it out front. So I'm going to do it. Anyway, knowing that he's going to lose some friends over this. Knowing that there are people who aren't going to like him because he says they're the ones that basically get attacked. So it has left me to tell you that it is an act of grave stupidity for the West to supply Ukraine with modern tanks. These are his feelings, and I understand that on a physical plane. Unlike everyone else in the media and politics, I am not a military expert, but I know what tanks are for, and it's not defense. What we have just decided to do is to prolong and deepen the war. Maybe Ukraine's new tanks will sweep all before them. Maybe they will bog down. Maybe they will try to take Crimea. Maybe they will soon be taking part in the victory parade in Red Square. I don't know. But if they cross into what Russia regards as its own territory, then do not be surprised by anything which happens. Look, Vladimir Putin is obviously a sinister tyrant, and in my view, went off his head completely during the COVID panic. And then it has in parentheses, look at those huge tables he sits at. Then another one. I think he is probably capable of authorizing the use of battlefield nuclear weapons if cornered. But it could be worse. If he is overthrown, in a midnight, I think this is pronounced right, putsch, meaning a violent attempt to overthrow a government. I never heard that word before. He will not be replaced by some jolly, liberal-minded chap. He will be replaced by someone who might view it as a positive pleasure to press the red button. All true. So there is a real possibility that a large chunk of Europe might be turned into a radioactive graveyard, and that American conventional relations for this, I'm sorry, it didn't sound right. American conventional retaliation for this which will be furious and powerful, will take us to a stage further into the world of horror, loss, flight, pestilence, and poverty, which always follows war. If this happens, maybe more people might want to find out why it began. Maybe not. I will help, if asked. But why is Britain in this affair? I know that a lot of voters in key states in America hate Russia because their forebears came from lands Moscow had oppressed. I know that some neoconservative fanatics in Washington have long desired to dismantle Russia and to ensure that it's never an important country again. I even understand their points of view, but they are at least 3,000 miles away. Now, this is working on people's minds. This is important to understand some of the things in that book, because this is going to weigh heavy on them when they realize, where is this going to take place? Is that where the radioactive graveyard is going to be? Or do we take care of the other one over here? But they are at least 3,000 miles away and will not be personally followed by their own policy. By contrast, we are not 3,000 miles away, and I have absolutely no idea how Britain will become safer, happier, or more prosperous thanks to following this strategy, rather the opposite. Two countries are in a furious grapple because their deep, hard, and unalterable interests conflict. The sane and decent policy for any outside power is to help push them into a lasting compromise, as the world did to France and Germany after 1945. Instead, we send tanks. It is as if the fire brigade went about starting fires. Well written. Who's going to listen to it? Another one here. Doomsday clock moves 10 seconds closer to midnight as Ukraine war rages. The doomsday clock has been set at 90 seconds to midnight, representing a time of unprecedented danger, largely because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It puts it 10 seconds closer to midnight, the closest the global catastrophe to global catastrophe it has ever been. It has been at 100 seconds to midnight since 2020. The countdown is a metaphor for a global collapse and agreed on by, seems like there's a word missing, by world-renowned experts at the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. They said Russia's thinly veiled threats to use nuclear weapons remind the world that escalation of the conflict by accident, intention, or miscalculation is a terrible risk. The possibility that the conflict could spin out of anyone's control remains high. Another one here. Battle tanks for Ukraine approved on same day doomsday clock hits closest point to midnight in history. Think, what an incredible thing. Here it sets the clock, already decided, and then this is when the decision comes out. The Biden administration has said that it will send 30 M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine. In a significant breakdown and escalation after weeks of debate, as well as division over the issue within the NATO alliance, Politico's national security correspondents, Alex Ward and Hans von der Burchard, I think it is, are further reporting that with the U.S. ready to pull the trigger, Scholz's Germany has followed by approving Leopard 2 main battle tanks. Germany is planning to send 14 of the Leopard 2 A6 tanks to Ukraine forces. Another article here from the BBC. Germany confirms it will provide Ukraine with Leopard 2 tanks. So these things are just happening quickly here when they took place. After weeks of reluctance, Germany has agreed to send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine in what Kiev hopes will be a game changer on the battlefield. Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced the decision to send 14 tanks and allow other countries to send theirs too, at a cabinet meeting on Wednesday. U.S. President Biden administration is also expected to announce plans to send 30 M1 Abrams tanks. A Kremlin spokesman earlier said the tanks would burn like all the rest. Dmitry Peskov said there was an overestimation of the potential the tanks would bring to the Ukrainian army and called the move a failed plan. But Ukrainian officials insist they are urgently in need of heavier weapons and say specific battle tanks could help Kiev's forces seize back territory from the Russians. Now they want jets. Next thing is jets. Now if that happens, I have no doubt that's going to break out. That's where it's going. A German government spokesman said the decision to supply the tanks follows our well-known line of supporting Ukraine to the best of our ability. Germany also permitted other countries to send their Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine, which was restricted until now under export regulations. Another article here, Russian TV warns new big war coming after Putin ultimatum. This is from Newsweek. Margarita Samoyan, I think is how you pronounce it, a Russian state TV host and editor-in-chief of the state-sponsored RT, has said that a big war is set to commence by the end of winter, following ultimatums made by Russian Vladimir Putin. Now, there's a lot going on out there on both sides right now that they're looking to the spring, that this is going to erupt, that this is what they're planning for. War preparations in Moscow, Russia to declare new patriotic war against NATO. Victory will be ours, like 1812 and 1945. So you think of some of these headlines and what's out there right now. It reflects the thinking going on in people's minds and leaders' minds in different countries. Here's one called Nuke Blast. Nuke Blast. Putin's allies call for Berlin to be nuked after Germany's game-changing decision to send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine. It comes after dithering German Chancellor Olaf Scholz folded to international pressure and direct pleas from President Zelensky. Now you can see people's bias and all these things, obviously, and how they feel, and it just, well, we can say it. I can say there's not a lot of love, but that's quite obvious. He will now send a squadron of Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine and allow NATO allies to re-export dozens more. The Kremlin today hit back, saying any tanks supplied by Germany and the U.S., will burn like all the rest, so being stated over and over. And raging Moscow TV pundit Yevgeny Sentaskovsky, something like that, said warheads, I know some of these names are really tough. I wouldn't say any names. Anyway, and warheads should be launched on the center of German democracy. This is what they're saying. This is what some really want to do. They're not holding back. He said German tanks, look how they're stating this, because they're relating to something that's happened before. German tanks with crosses on their armor will again march across Ukraine attacking Russian soldiers. Well, they're saying that because it whips up a thinking then in others. And this patriotic thing of look what happened before, and they're coming again. Same tanks, same crosses on the tanks. Well, not the exact same thing. I have a natural reaction to this. The Soviet Union bombed Berlin in 1941. And to me, this is a signal that the Reichstag, or Bundestag, which now replaces the Reichstag, simply should not remain standing any longer. Flat, slightly radioactive, melted down ground. Another of Putin's favorite propagandists, TV host Vladimir Solovyov, claimed it meant Germany had joined the war. He ranted, "It's time to send a clear, resolute message that we now consider Germany a direct party to the conflict, rekindling memories of World War II. German tanks appearing, in other words, in Ukraine, will definitely mean we consider German territory, military bases, and other sites as legitimate targets. The UK is already sending 14 Challenger 2s, answering Zelensky's plea for more modern weaponry. Mr. Scholz had held back from the supply of Leopards, fearing it would trigger World War III. But he finally relented today amid huge international pressure. He will now send 14 Leopard 2s, plus spare parts and ammo, and lift a ban on other countries sending theirs. Poland, Finland, Denmark, Norway, and Spain were waiting for Berlin's permission to send some of their fleets to Ukraine. Reports said furious allies were ramping up pressure and threaten to... When you see all these countries getting together to come at you, what are you going to do? You're going to respond at some point because you're not going to lose. That's the bad thing about nuclear war. You're not going to lose that one either. Reports said furious allies were ramping up pressure and threatened to defy Berlin by sending tanks without permission. This decision follows our well-known line of supporting Ukraine to the best of our ability, said Scholz today. We are acting in a closely coordinated manner internationally. Germany's Leopards, fielded by armies across Europe, are widely seen as the best option as they are available in large numbers and easy to deploy and maintain. Another article here from Reuters. Ukraine set sights on fighter jets after securing tank supplies. They got one down, now they want to go for the big one, which is what they wanted up front all the time. Ukraine will now push for Western fourth-generation fighter jets such as the U.S. F-16 after securing supplies of main battle tanks, an advisor to Ukraine's defense minister said. Ukraine won a huge boost for its troops on Wednesday as Germany and the United States announced plans to provide heavy tanks for Kiev, ending weeks of diplomatic deadlock on the issue. Now, these things here, too, should tell us something. It's a timeline, and there is one being followed. The next big hurdle will now be the fighter jets. Yuri Sok, who advises Defense Minister, Rezenkov, told Reuters. Another headline here. Italy confirms sending SAMP-T air defense systems to Ukraine. So more and more people are just keep sending things over there. And Russia's over there watching all this, and they can tell their people all this. Look at what all these countries are ganging up on us. NATO, the U.S., and they know it's true. It's exactly what's taking place. That's why we're going to go to some of the articles here in a moment, because where are we? Some tell it like it is. Former UK defense minister says NATO may need to send ground forces to Ukraine. U.S. preps Ukraine package with rockets that can reach nearly 100 miles. There's a bunch of stuff going on right now. I don't know if I have an article on that, but there's, like, it's been green-lighted by the U.S., by Washington, D.C., that they can attack Crimea now. What do you think Russia's going to do if they do that? It's going to start big time. Another article here. Russia could nuke U.K. with unstoppable torpedo, causing 500-meter radioactive tsunami. Dmitry Kiselov, one of Putin's chief mouthpiece reporters, recently went into detail about how two Russian super nukes had the capability to wipe the British Isles off the map, sparking World War III fears. Another article from Reuters. U.S. states struggle to share... This is just an interesting aside. It has nothing to do with the war. But anyway, dwindling waters of the Colorado River. You think some of these things they've known for so long, and this is just getting crazier and crazier. The Colorado River, which provides drinking water to 40 million people in seven states, U.S. states, is drying up, straining a water distribution pack amid the worst drought in 12 centuries, exacerbated by climate change. Okay, another article. German foreign minister just said the quiet part out loud on Ukraine. While Baerbock's words were largely ignored in mainstream media, a number of pundits on social media noted with alarm that the German foreign minister just essentially declared war on Russia. This is how Russia is looking at it as well. Russian foreign minister spokesman, as it says here, Maria Zakharova, seized on the comments, saying, "This is yet more proof that the Western allies were planning a war on Russia all along." So it's shifting things around and playing their game of how all countries do when it's trying to pump up that they're right and the others were wrong and it's their fault for how this all... Anyway. If we add this to Merkel's revelations that were strengthening Ukraine and did not count on the Minsk agreements, then we are talking about a war against Russia that was planned in advance. Don't say later that we didn't warn you. Now, it's interesting, some of these things taking place, because the reality is there are things that do go back because there's a spirit power and things that are being allowed to push at certain things to bring them about. And a lot of it is even by God's design, obviously, to that it fits out in a certain way, because they're going to do it. It's just that he works with the timing and how it's done. Here are things that people are just totally absolutely... There are things that are happening financially, too, that people are just absolutely ignoring out here. You don't even have words for it. The insanity that's going out there in the markets and things that... The economy and the games that they're playing. Anyway, this one here says, GDP report reveals ominous Great Depression warning sign not seen since 1932. Thursday GDP report shows that the real disposable income has fallen off a cliff. But who listens? Who cares? Who believes? Another one here. It says exclusive. Who is preparing for nuclear war? The health body, it says, publishes list of medicines for nations to stockpile in case of radiation or nuclear emergency, as EU warns Russia is at war with the West. Another one here, has World War III begun? The case for the start of World War III. So the case for fuzzy beginnings and endings of wars is clear. What's the case for saying World War III has already begun based upon the situation in Ukraine? The first point is the number of nations directly involved. It is nonsense to say that NATO members are cheering on Ukraine from the sidelines. Those countries are directly involved in supplying weapons, intelligence, money, ammunition, and boots on the ground. The countries now directly involved in the war in Ukraine with weapons, money, intelligence, mercenaries, or financial sanctions include the U.S., the U.K., Germany, France, Poland, Lithuania, Canada, Australia, Ukraine, Russia, China, Syria, Iran, Turkey, Japan, Romania, Belarus, and Moldova. Is it a world war already? Has it already started? That's what they're asking. These countries span four continents. The economic ramifications are global. If this is not a world war, it's not clear what is. Yeah, agree 100%. Think something hasn't already started, that's why it can't turn back now. It's already started. Things have already started. Nobody's going to turn back. They're not going to stop back from giving more aid to Ukraine. There are people who want to see them womp up on Russia. But that's not going to happen. He has a lot of nukes, and he will use them. And something's going to cause them to wake up to that in Europe shortly. The Third World War is here. It may be at the 1937 stage rather than the 1941 stage. Let's hope that status prevails. It likely will not. The danger of escalation of a nuclear exchange is real and growing. Will anyone stop it before it's too late? Now, just to read articles like this, it's mind-boggling. We are there. And we've got to be able to see that as well. So indeed, there aren't many tanks. 14 Leopard 2 tanks from Germany, 31 M1 A2 tanks from the U.S., 14 Leopard tanks from Poland, 14 Challenger tanks from the U.K. Not a lot of tanks, but it is for them. And it carries a message with it. Very powerful. Another one here. Putin issues warning to West at Stalingrad event. The Russian president has condemned Western tank deliveries to Ukraine, promising a response that goes beyond armored vehicles. With his health, with his age, with other things taking place, with what is in his mind of what he wants to accomplish and why, Russian President Vladimir Putin has hit at the looming deliveries are hit out at the looming deliveries of Western-made tanks to Ukraine, warning that Moscow's response to the threat will span far beyond armored vehicles. The Russian leader made the comments during a ceremony to mark the 80th anniversary of victory over the Battle of Stalingrad. So they're bringing all these things. It all has meaning, representation. Unbelievable but true. We are once again threatened with German Leopard tanks with crosses on their hull, and once again seeking to battle Russia and Ukraine with the help of Hitler's followers. I'm saying this right. The Banderites, Putin said. Those seeking to defeat Russia on the battlefield apparently do not realize that a modern war with Russia would be entirely different for them. We're not sending our tanks to their borders. Yet, we have something to respond with, and it would not be limited to armor use only. Everyone must realize that, he added. He means what he says. Last week, Berlin changed its stance on supplying modern armor to Kiev, pledging to deliver the 14 Leopard 2 tanks, as well as allowing European countries to re-export German-made vehicles from their own inventories. The number of Leopards expected to reach, well, we've already read that. Anyway. And then this one today that I saw, I hadn't picked up on yet. It's from the Washington Examiner. It says, dry run, balloons called top delivery platform for nuclear EMP attack. You think, well, that's not possible. They wouldn't do that. Somebody might. They might even blame it on North Korea. Might give North Korea an idea. Who knows? Anyway, let me read the article. High-altitude balloons, such as the one China has floated over Mountain State military bases this week, are considered, and of all the stupid things, can you believe that one of the reasons for not shooting it down? We want to be careful of what it hit, might hit. Has anyone ever been up to Montana? The likelihood? Anyway. High-altitude balloons, such as the one China has floated over Mountain State military bases this week, are considered a key delivery platform for secret nuclear strikes on America's electric grid, according to intelligence office officials. True. Who knows what they're going to use? At some point, somebody's going to use that, whether it be a satellite. But this is an easy way to do it. They're not bothering to shoot it down. We'll just send up a few more and let them go across. And anyway, I'm sorry. We are so stupid sometimes. Really, I mean, it's insanity. And how do people look at us then? Impotent? Can't make a decision? Can't make something a decisive? Don't recognize a potential danger of something? It's not the spying that's dangerous. Spy balloons used by Japan to drop bombs during World War II are now far more sophisticated. Can fly up to 200,000 feet, evade detection, and can carry a small nuclear bomb that, if exploded in the atmosphere, would shut down the grid and wipe out electronics in a mini statewide area. Yeah, incredible. So regardless of how things happen or when they happen, they're getting close. That's why I'm not real anxious about traveling right now, to be honest with you, through the rest of February even, let alone the rest of the months. But anyway, going to keep going. Maybe not in February. Sorry. Because there's some dates involved here that have to do with what Russia did and have to do with the Ukraine war, and we're back there now. Let's finish here in Psalm 25. Oh, we'll just read the first verse, a few verses here. It's about a focus we need to have and understand that we are getting ready at some point here, whatever that is in God's timing, to go through some horrific things that we can't comprehend. No point in dwelling upon them. It's just a reality of when it's there, then we're going to have to deal with it. And just to understand, it's going to be exceedingly hard, exceedingly trying, devastating. It's going to bring up emotions you could never dream of inside you. But to keep God in the forefront will become more important to us than ever before. And to put your trust more and more in God and the hope and the truth, we know what's going to take place. We know so much about the timing of these things and what's going to happen, what's following, and how awesome that'll be, and how merciful and powerful God is to deliver His people. Psalm 25, verse 1, "Unto you, O Eternal, do I lift up my life again. O my God, I trust in you." You know what? I skipped that, but it's a good place. I already went through it. I pulled out the wrong piece of paper. But you know what? We're going to stop there. I will read that one more time, because that's exactly what we have to do. If I can find it again, because I have so many papers up here with all that news. Oh my God, I trust in you. Think about that. Think about what that means. Think about what's coming, how much more that's needed in our lives than ever before, and what we're going to be doing in ways we've never even conceived of, because we've never lived that. But you're going to.